verse 21. If you'll turn there quickly. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't feel like I'm going to preach a long time this morning. But I do feel like I need to get this off of my chest here today. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Let me read that again. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I want to talk about the covering this morning. Amen. And if you're not covered today, you can be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can have joy and peace in your heart that you've never had before. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. God give us ears to hear today. Amen. The story of Adam and Eve in their giving in to sin is well known, at least among us apostolics. But it is, I think that it is not as well understood. It's much more than just a story today. It's an example of man's need for God, and it's an example of God's desire to have an eternal relationship with man. Relationship and revival. Praise God. He wants to have a relationship with you and with me. And God's desire is often overlooked and too often not understood, probably because of the circumstances that face us at different times in our life. And from the sin of man, from the sin of Adam and Eve, in the garden, something happened to all people. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed to where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. What that simply means is they didn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they still sinned, who is the figure of him that was to come. And so from Adam till Moses, it really was a hopeless situation. There was no hope. There was no deliverer. There was no salvation. There was no law that they could keep. We could talk this morning about Abel. We could talk about Abraham and some of the men of faith that did not have the law yet, but they walked with God. Amen. But these men were the exception and not the rule. The law was not yet given, and so sin reigned. And so we have the familiar story of the flood in Genesis chapter 6, where the Lord had to cleanse the earth of sin. And then the Tower of Babel, that debacle in Genesis chapter 11. And then it comes to Moses. Everybody said Moses. Moses was a type of Christ. He was the deliverer, to let us know that God had not given up on us. And if you're here this morning and you feel like God has given up on you, or that God does not know your name, I want you to know this morning God knows your name. And God has not given up on you. Praise God. And so it was a hopeless situation there. But Moses came. And once Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world, everybody that came into the world as sin, or with sin, rather. And a great example of that is Cain. Cain was a murderer, and he didn't have all the evil influences that we have. It was a pristine situation. But I want you to know, sin will take you down. Sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. Amen. And it will wreck your life. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning that God wants to erase that curse off of your life and give you joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's right. Amen. Adam and Eve obeyed God even after they sinned because they wore the coats that God gave them. They did not reject the covering that God made for them, but they wore those coverings. But I've got a feeling here today that Cain, who came after them, God cursed that generation or cursed him because he was not covered. He didn't want the covering that his mom and dad had. He didn't want to go the direction that his mom and dad went. And so he saw lust. God saw lust in Cain. For you see, when God made the coats of skins, after that point, when God had interaction with Adam and Eve, all he could see was their covering. All God could see was the covering of shed blood that he had made for them. Praise God. That's all he could see. But without that covering, when there was no covering, God could only see the nakedness of sin. He only saw lust. He only saw pride. He only saw murder and everything that was evil that was in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's why the scripture talks about standards of morality. We preach about standards of morality. And I'll leave that all for the pastor. Praise God. But you can find any kind of covering today that portrays the dominant sin in a person's life. Amen. From the prostitute to the prideful in Washington, everyone has a covering. They dress according to how they feel and the desires of their heart. Amen. We have a desire for God here this morning. And there is a covering that he has for us. And it's not what you wear on the outside, but it's what he has given to us. Praise God. It's what he has covered us with, and then what is on the outside will take care of itself.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Right.
What we need to see this morning, what each and every one of us need to see, is that God has a covering for us, and that covering is on the inside and on the outside.
Right.
And when we are covered, we're safe. Amen. We're safe from the ways of this world. We're safe from the sins of this world. We're safe from the penalties, amen, that sin will bring into an individual's life. Let's look at it here this morning for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Praise God. I appreciate you all indulging me here this morning. Amen. Some days are better than others. Praise God. Genesis 6 and verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Amen. I was talking to Pastor this week, and he brought up this scripture, and I said, well, I guess I'm on the right track. Amen. So I've been thinking about this for several weeks. Pitch it within and without with pitch. And I began to look at this a little bit deeper than I have in the past. I just looked at the concordance, and it talks about a bitumen like asphalt. And I've preached in the past that the ark was a black ship, and maybe it was, and if I'm missing this, Pastor can straighten it all out. But I looked it up in Webster's. Amen. I'm laying an awful lot on Pastor here this morning. Praise God. I looked it up in Webster. Webster likes to use scripture when he is defining words. And the word pitch here is a thick, tenacious substance. Means very sticky. The juice of a species of pine or fir, And then he gives the Greek name for that, obtained by incision from the bark of the tree. And when it is melted and pressed in bags of cloth, it is received into barrels. This is white or burgundy pitch. And so the pitch that came out of those trees that they possibly used, and I believe they did because it lines up with other scriptures, was either white, amen, we're made white by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a picture of our salvation. Or burgundy. Burgundy is really the color of blood. Right. Amen.
Right.
And wouldn't it be wonderful if that ark was like that? Now let's look at it here. Genesis chapter 6 and 14, I just read that. The word pitch there in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 is actually in the Hebrew is the word atonement.
Yes.
Amen. And I've seen that before and preached from that before. But there is atonement. Leviticus 17:11. You need to memorize that.
Yeah.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And with this atonement that God has made available, we can reestablish a relationship with God. Adam and Eve could not reestablish a relationship with God if they did not wear the covering or the coats that God made for them. I hope y'all are with me here this morning. But when we have the covering, not our covering, not our righteousness, not our goodness, but when we have God's covering, amen, His covering of righteousness, His covering of the blood, then we can reestablish a relationship with God. And that's what the gospel's all about, and that's what salvation is all about, is reestablishing a relationship with the Lord, amen, and having the joy and the peace that God wants us to have. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
And just as Adam and Eve were covered by the shedding of blood, we can only be saved by the covering of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And once we are covered, we are safe. Amen. We're safe when we're covered by the blood.
Yes.
That pitch was on the outside to keep the bad water from coming in. And it was on the inside, and that was to keep the fresh water on the inside.
All right.
Praise God.
All right.
And there was that. That's really quite the story. But let's look at this, and more personal here this morning, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3 and verse 27. Now listen to this. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
And so the covering that He wants to give us is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that He made for you and I. And what we need to understand is that this covering will help us to walk in safety and salvation. Amen. Noah was safe. Praise God. And today we are safe. Amen. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. They had chores to do. There was work to do in the ark. But there was a joy through it all because even though the waves were pounding against the ship and it was rocking to and fro and up and down, they were safe and secure. Praise God. Because of the covering and because of the plan that God had for them with the ark. Amen. While the waves were crashing outside, praise God, they were putting puzzles together on the inside.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. They were playing Salvation Scrabble. Amen. They were throwing burritos. Praise God. They had a good time while they were on the ark because they knew they were safe.
Right.
And it's a wonderful thing. It doesn't matter what is going against you or coming against you. If you understand the salvation that he has given to us,
right.
Amen, we can have a joy. And that joy doesn't mean we're walking around kind of fruity-like all the time and smiling and everything is fantastic, expecting it to get better, praise God.
Yeah.
Folks look at you and say, what planet are you coming from?
Yeah.
Amen, because I got a lot of troubles in my life. But I want you to know you can have an inner peace on the inside that ultimately in the very end, everything is going to be all right. And everything is going to be all right when you have the Lord in your life, when we have that covering. Praise God.
Amen.
I know I'm not shouting and screaming, but I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And I know God is trying to speak to somebody's heart here today.
Amen.
They weren't stressed for too long because before them, on the inside and on the outside, they could see the covering. If they were on the inside and the boat started going like this, all they had to do is look at the covering. It's holding fast. Amen. If the ship went up and down and the waves crashed over the top of the ship, all they had to do was look at the covering and remember the covenant that God made with them and that God said, I will save you. Praise God. And in our personal lives, salvation covers the inside and the outside. Amen. And when we look at that, morality is not just a code of do's and don'ts. It's a result of the atonement covering the inside and the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. It is a result. It is not something that, I'll just leave it at that. Let the pastor work on that. Amen. But it covers the inside and the outside. Praise God. It covers how we look on the outside and how we feel and the things that go through our mind on the inside, in our mind and in our hearts. I'm thankful for salvation today. I'm thankful. Acts 2:38 talks about this great salvation. And this was the birthday of the church. And it's very significant when you study salvation and you look at it in the Word of God. Acts 2:38, actually verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And a moral person, a person that has a sensitivity to right and wrong, when they hear the preaching of the gospel, they're going to be pricked in their heart.
Amen.
It's going to prick your conscience. It's going to touch you down on the inside.
Right.
And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Amen. They didn't say, paint the outside of your life with Sherwin-Williams paint and everything will be all right.
Yeah.
I'm not against Sherwin-Williams paint. He didn't say do this or do that. He basically said, if you're going to make it through this time of storm and trouble in your life, you're going to have to have a significant covering. Amen.
Yep.
You're going to have something that is significant, something that is going to last through this short period of time of storm in your life. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent.
Repent.
Everybody said, repent.
Repent.
And be baptized, every one of you, not in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost didn't die for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. There's a lot of fathers, a lot of sons. Amen. We have a spirit within us, but that does not suffice for our covering. And then he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to look at that for just a minute here this morning. I know this is very simple, but I feel like it's for someone here today. Because when he said repent, repent deals with the heart. Amen. A turnaround in your heart. A saying in your heart, I want to live for God. I want to have a better life than what I've had. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of all the drama in my life. Amen. I want a change in my life. That's what repentance is. That's repentance. And then he said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the washing away of sin. And I thought about it along this line. Once Noah and his sons got the ark all done, then it was time to pitch it within and without. And they didn't just start pitching it. They had to wash the ark off first.
All right.
Because there was dust and there was dirt and there was sawdust on the outside and on the inside. And they had to clean it first. And then they could put that sticky substance on the outside and on the inside. I know that's not scripture, but it just seems reasonable to me. And so when we repent and we are baptized, God cleans us out and gets us ready for the pitch, if you please. God gets us ready to be sealed and to be covered. Amen. And if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, don't leave today without getting baptized in His name. Praise God. I remember when I was baptized in His name, someone said, would you like to get baptized? And I said, yes, I would. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. But I was drinking, I was smoking, I was starting down the road of drugs. Amen. And my life was turned upside down. I had lost both of my parents before I was out of high school and no direction whatsoever. And my friend who invited me to church, when I said, yeah, I want to be baptized, I thought he was going to fall over on the floor. But I went to the water and I was baptized in Jesus' name. And that moment, God cleaned me out. He delivered me of cigarettes. And that was in 1974. I've never smoked another one. I would probably be in my grave today with my heart issues if I continued to smoke. Amen. God saved me and called me into the ministry. Praise the Lord. He delivered me of alcohol. I never drank another drop of alcohol. He delivered me from drugs. Amen. And I never have taken any since. And it's not my strength. I didn't use the power of, what do they call that? Power of persuasion or positive thinking. Thank you. Amen. That's not what it was. It was the cleansing power of God. He was preparing to give me a covering. And Peter said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the sealing of the ark. It is the sealing of an individual's life. Praise God. So that the bad things can't come in from the outside and it keeps the good things on the inside. Praise God. And I'll show it to you here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And it says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And there it is. Praise God. When God looks at us, He does not see the nakedness of sin anymore. I want to try to emphasize this, because if you're dealing with condemnation in your life, there is true condemnation and there is false condemnation. And that false condemnation comes from the enemy of your soul. And he'll tell you, you don't measure up. This is a performance-based relationship. Amen. He will tell you all sorts of things about yourself. He'll remind you of your past. Amen. And it will hinder you. And if there's someone here this morning that's dealing with condemnation, I want to help you to understand this gospel takes care of all of your past. And pastor's been talking about R&R, amen, relationship and revival. If I could add to it this morning, another R&R, repent and rejoice. Because when we repent of our sins, God forgives us of our sins. We don't have to carry that around every day anymore. We have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. And so when we look at Noah and we look at Adam and Eve, which we've been talking about this morning, it would be unjust on God's part not to receive them based upon their covering. So think about this. God made a covering for Adam and Eve. They put that covering on. And if the Lord, after that, said, I don't receive you, I don't accept you anymore, even though they're wearing the covering that he made for them, that would mean that God would not be faithful and God would not be just. But we serve a faithful God today. We serve a just God. I'm going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. Amen. We could say if the ark sunk or if it broke in two, we could say that God was unfaithful. That we would say that God is unfaithful and that God is not just. Amen. But we serve a just God. Yes. Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Amen. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? Look at this, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Somebody say that with me. God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Because of the fact that God is just and God is faithful. Amen. Because of this nature and character of God, we can be safe and sound in our spirit, and we can serve him without condemnation.
Yes. Yes.
Are you struggling with condemnation this morning? Amen. If you are, you need to get baptized in his name, because that's real condemnation from sin. You need to repent. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Praise God. Because God will take that condemnation off of your shoulders. But if you've already been baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Well, praise God. And because of this fact, we can have the joy of the Lord. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Anybody want to be free this morning? Free from your addictions? Free from all of the things that are hindering you in your life? I want you to know there is a covering that God has for you. There is a covering that God has for me. Praise God. Well, praise God. It's so exciting. Now let's look at this powerful scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I've got just a little bit more to go here. And I'm going to have an altar call. And I want us to come and seek the Lord or rejoice in the Lord, whichever. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So if we confess, I don't need God, I don't have any sin in my life, everything is okay, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, So there's two different things that you can say with your mouth. One of them is, oh, I'm okay, don't worry about me. Or you can say, I need God more than I need anything else in this world. And be honest about it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Everybody said faithful. And just. Everybody said just. To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Anything that you've done, if you will confess it to Him, He is faithful and just. We serve a faithful God. That word there means constant and not fickle. Amen. He is faithful. You can depend on Him. Praise God. The word just there, in a moral sense, it means upright and honest. Equitable in the distribution of justice as a just judge. God is faithful and God is just. Now think about that this morning. If we sin, then there is a penalty of sin. Amen. If we don't have the covering, there is a penalty of that sin. But when we put on His covering, when we are filled with His Spirit, we have repented and been baptized. Amen. God is faithful and God is just. If He did not forgive you of your past sins, even though you've repented of them, then you are saying that God is not just. You are saying that God has changed His mind about me. I really want to try to help somebody along that line this morning. Because God loves you. God loves us. And He has made a way for us. We don't make our own way, but He has made a way for you and I so that we can live happily in this life. Amen. I serve a faithful God this morning. I serve a just God this morning. Revelation 7:13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Or where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. You can make it through your tribulation with the Lord. And have washed their robes, there's the covering, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They had spots all over them. They were dirty. Amen. But they took the time to wash their robes. Amen. Which is symbolic of righteousness. They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They were sealed on the outside and on the inside with the covering that God had provided for them. Amen. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Have you been crying? I spoke to a young man just yesterday, and I don't want to go into details, but he's had a traumatic experience in his life, 27 years old, and he told me, he said, I'm tired of crying myself to sleep. 27 years old, I'm tired of crying myself to sleep. And I thought, here's my opportunity, praise God. Because I've been there and I've done that, amen. Before I came to God, I spent some time weeping until there were no more tears to come out. Amen. David had that same experience. But I don't cry like that anymore, praise God. Because when it all comes down to the bottom line of the thing, I'm in the ark, and the covering, amen, is going to protect me. Have you been crying in the night? Have you been spending time weeping before the Lord and feeling guilty? Well, if you haven't covered your life with Jesus Christ, you've got a right to be crying like that. But If you have already been baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. Lay your tears down. He's going to wipe them away. Put a smile on your face. Get an understanding that God loves you and he is just and he is faithful to forgive you of your sins. One last scripture here this morning, if the musicians could come this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24. Very short scripture, but very powerful scripture. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. You see, the reason we have church is because of sin. The reason we have the Word of God and all the commandments and all that in the Scriptures is because of sin. This Bible that we read and we preach from, it's all about the salvation of individuals. God loves people. He wants to have a relationship with us. But it's our response that is so very, very important. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. What that simply means is that some men are not afraid to go to the altar. Some women are just not afraid to go to the altar and confess and say, God, here I am. I'm open. I'm honest. I want to send my sins before the judgment day. I want to get rid of these things. I want to take care of this. But some men, they follow after. I can just picture someone walking in life and behind them, sin is dancing like a lot of little bitty demons, like the Pied Piper or whatever that guy was. And he's playing his little thing and everybody's following and they're hollering at the one that they're following after saying, you've sinned, you're no good. You've sinned, there's no hope for you. You've sinned, and there's no way that you're ever going to get out of your situation. But I want to tell you today, you can get out of your situation. There's freedom. Can we stand this morning? Can we stand this morning? I feel God, I really do. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And I just wonder, are you struggling with guilt over the things that you've done in the past, even though you've repented and asked God for forgiveness and been filled with the Holy Ghost? You need to come and thank God this morning. You need to rejoice this morning and thank Him for His forgiveness in your life. And if there's someone here this morning and you have sin in your life and you've got troubles in your life, I hope this morning that you could just be open and honest enough with God that maybe you could say to the person beside you, would you go with me to the altar? Would you help me pray this morning? Would you help me seek God this morning? For I need Him. I need Him in my life. If you'll do that, you can send those sins on before and everything will be all right. Come on, let's come to the altar.